Well, good afternoon, Danny.
Good afternoon.
Today is November 4th, 2021, and we're here at the offices of In Town Collaborative Ministries on Ponce in Atlanta. My name is Daniel Enger, and I have the pleasure of being here today with you, Danny.
Yes.
Thank you very much for taking time to talk. I'm looking forward to hearing your story and learning from you. And my first question for you, Danny, is a really big one, namely, please tell the story of your life from the time you were a little boy up to the present day.
Okay, well, I come from a broken family. My mother was, I was a subject of a rape baby. My great-grandmother raised me. My mother was alcoholic. And I was up to age 10 before I realized that my great-grandmother wasn't my mother. You know, and we didn't, I never knew a day that she was sober in her life. And everything, she died in 1994. But my grandmother died in 1973. And after that, I was in and out of the prison system for a very long time. It took me away from society and everything, and I kind of got behind in time, you know. First bid I ever done was 2 years. So I come back out to society after that 2 years, and I was homeless. And it wasn't like it was nowadays. People would help you out. People would give you stuff to help you get back on your feet, give you housing to where you get you a job. They let you stay at the house. They didn't even have to know you. They'll let you stay there and help you get back on your feet if you was trying. If a man really wanted to get on his feet back then, he could. But nowadays, this 2021, I hadn't seen nothing like it. I mean, if a man want to work, which I'm 66 years old, and I'm a retired criminal, I'm not rehabilitated by a long shot, I just don't want to die in the penal system, be buried on Pissant Hill. You know, I got out of prison October 14th, 2020, due to the pandemic. They sent me to Atlanta bus station. I won't never forget it. Yeah, I stayed there 3 days. I was scared to death to walk the streets of Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, I just come out of the jungle, off state prison. It was a jungle. Didn't know where I was going to get my next meal. Didn't know nothing. Yeah, if you go try to use the bathroom somewhere, it's out of order. Yeah, your restaurant, everybody was scared of the pandemic. There wasn't no work going on. Yeah, so I come accustomed to that after a while. But you know, prison and drugs has really affected my life. It's until a man gets straight off drugs, he really don't know what the drug is doing to him. I mean, he don't know how to cope with life no more. He needs help in all kind of areas. He's grown accustomed to be homeless. People has beat him down so bad that he just give up on life. And he's going from soup line to soup line and everything. And I refuse to be that person. I refuse this. And like I said, I got out October 14th. I've been in the streets 1 year. And I've been beating these doors down. Yeah, when I first got out of prison, I stayed, like I said, three days at Atlanta bus station. I went to all the missions, Salvation Army. They slammed the door in the face. Epidemic, epidemic, epidemic. That's all I heard. Epidemic. Damn, me living in the streets in the cold weather, the rain, no clothes. I got a monkey suit on, a pair of khaki pants, a white shirt, and a pair of bubbo shoes they give you when you get out of prison, and $25 in my pocket. That's all I had. You know, I was 65 when I got out. All my family dead. I got no family members or nothing. It was only me. So I hit the streets. And I have tried. First thing I wanted to do was get on SSI. It took me 8 months knocking on doors, trying to get people to help me get it. Finally, I had to sit down and call the SSI myself and figure out how to do it myself. I couldn't get no help whatsoever from nobody. I mean, nobody had time for me. Then I tried to, kept trying to get housing. Finally, I just said, sure, they want to put me out in Gateway or something. I can't sleep in an open dormitory around people. I come from the prison system, done a total of 40 years. I get paranoid real easy. I've seen a lot of things happen in my life in the prison system. And most of the homeless shelters around here, they don't have no security. When you come in, they say they go through your bag. You can get anything you want in a homeless shelter. You take Gateway. That's a runoff of Peachtree and Pine. That's all that is. All the trouble they had, they want to clean Peachtree and Pine. That's why they done away with it and open up Gateway. Now, if you want to, you can go to Gateway. What good is it going to Gateway? I don't know the time frame. Most of these shelters and things want to kick you out by 6 o'clock in the morning. It might be raining outside. If you got your job, you got to go off to work in the rain. Ain't nobody going to give you a mortar card. All the shelters and churches and everything, I believe they designed to keep a man down because they feed lunch at 11. All the hours they feed is in between when a man has to be at work. Then if you try, have you ever tried to sleep out in the streets in the rain, in the cold, with one pair of pants and get up and go to work the next morning? That job didn't last too long, did it? I know the scenario right there. It's like the system dropped me out here in the street. We told you he'd be back. Well, one thing about Georgia Department of Corrections, it's a guaranteed job. There's going to be criminals out here the way they run it because ain't nobody wanting to. The counselors there, they don't want to do the job. They won't put you in for a halfway house and make sure that you got a place to stay or sign you up for SSI when you get out or mental health status. Back to my mental health status. I am mental health. I spent 40 years in the prison system. I did some long bits at one time or another. Any man that does over 5 years in the prison system, he's in trouble to begin with because he become mental health. You lose touch with society. And a lot of people may not realize what that does to you. But if I go to the prison system and I do 10 years, that means I'm 10 years behind time. And walking the streets of Atlanta, I ain't got 10 years to catch up on all the changes that was made. I got to do it fast and in a hurry. And I'm kind of a slow learner. I'm self-educated. I love to read. And that's hard to do. That's really hard to do. What could Atlanta do? Well, they are giving all this money out for the homeless. But who's really benefiting from that money, I wonder? Because, I was told last year that they had putting people in hotels and everything like that. Okay, I go stand in line at 5 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, I get into a hotel. I stand out in the cold. At 5 o'clock in the morning, they're kicking me back out in the cold. So what's the use going to the motel? I mean, you get 2 or 3 hours, get you a hot shower or something, but other than that, you can't get no rest there because everybody's in an uproar. They're wanting to get in, breaking the line, pushing it. There's no supervision in the shelters, period. I mean, you take Jefferson Street shelter used to be. You go in there, you better tie your shoes to your bed. Or to leave them on your feet if you wanted them the next morning. I mean, that's how bad the homeless situation is. And then back to the city giving these people money for the homeless. What the city should have done, they should have appointed somebody to oversee what was going on and check in daily with them programs to make sure that all the people that's drawing a paycheck from that money is doing their job, is out here beating the bush. Since I fly signs sometimes down there on the corner, I have people come all over. Well, we're going to help you do this. Hey, we're going to help you do that. Well, the only thing they done is blow some smoke up my ass and got my hopes up for nothing. Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line, what they done. They come out there, interview me, get my social security number, get my copy of my ID, everything. They run back and say, well, I signed him up today. I'm going to get him housing. And you don't ever hear from them again. Yeah. And, just like my counselor, which I don't want to call his name because I don't know if he would approve of me speaking of him. You know, he goes far and beyond his call of duty. You know, his best man I ever met is really trying to help me. But the city's got his hands locked too. You know, he just can't go put you in how he, first he got a person like me. I've done 40 years in the penitentiary. I've been out of touch with society for many, many years. Now I'm out here looking for a house. They don't want my kind around them. You know, ain't no such thing as I'm a good person anymore, because if you ever do anything bad in your life, it's always going to be remembered through the system. If you get that number, you always going to be remembered in the system. You take a guy like me, done all this time and everything. I probably work a young man, college degrees and all that. I work them to death at 66 right now. I'm in good shape. You know, as far as he's got the book knowledge of everything. I got the experience of everything. I worked mobile construction for 10 years. So I do electrical, plumbing, carpentry. I love it. Yeah, I can build just about anything, read a set of blueprints. But because he's got a little better college degree, man, ain't never swung a hammer, ain't never picked up a screwdriver, but he knows the technical part of it. You know me, I know the work part of it. So there's a difference between us. But because he got that piece of paper and everything that the state failed to give me, because they don't want you rehabilitated. They want that revolving door so you'll be right back when you come in. You have to go back to the things that you done. You know? So after a while, you get to knocking on the doors and find yourself, how the hell would this here? I know how to go get some money because that's the routine you in. You know? Yeah, I was a young man, 17. I threw it in there with a bunch of predators, a bunch of dogs, animals. You know? I had to live like them. So I became like them. And it's warped my mind pretty good. I agree to that. I have to analyze myself all the time about the changes I have to make in society. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you're institutionalized. No, I'm not institutionalized by law. I'm a survivor. I have to get in the mode to survive. I do what I have to survive. But right now, I'm scared to spit on the sidewalk because I have a record. Police see me, if I'm out there late at night running around, they see me, they stop me, they ID me, first thing I'm doing is prowling, they're going to say, yeah, I done been there and done that. Okay, right back to jail I go. Public defenders down there, they don't care if you're guilty or innocent. All they want is a guilty plea. They want to win. And so they'll look good, draw a big paycheck. It's all about the money here in Atlanta, Georgia, that's for sure. Because money is what makes it go around in Atlanta. If you got money, you don't get messed with. If you ain't got nothing, you're a bum, you're homeless, a hobo. Ain't nothing changed from the old days to right now but the names of things. That's the only thing changed. You know, you take a garbage man. He used to be the garbage collector. Now he's in custodial maintenance. Dress the name up, supervision, janitorial. You know, that's all they ever do. Around here, change the names and everything you say, it stays the same. Sure, Atlanta has helped a lot of people get off the street, but Atlanta's a big city. We got a lot of people coming to Atlanta, Georgia now. It's going to be a little Hollywood for long. And I mean, Atlanta's changing. They're trying to push the homeless outside the city limits, you know. People don't come out anymore like they used to feed and give away. Maybe on the holidays, they get within the spirit. But because of this pandemic, it's hard on everybody. People been out of work. They've been in house arrest. They scared to go into grocery stores and everything. So I'm faced with something new to me right now. I don't know Each day I thank God that I woke up, and I thank him every night I go to bed because I'm at that age. But I don't know where, you know, I've been promised they're going to get me out of the house before it gets cold. Well, it got cold last night, and I'm still out here. It started raining last night. I'm still out here. It's raining today. I'm still out here. But they're going to get me in the house before it gets cold, they tell me, you know. And I have other counselors other than this one counselor working with me. And but the end result, as far as the housing goes, as I'm concerned, is I'm going to have to find me a room or someplace on my own. You know, because they have had years to get me housing, and yet I've had to have my hopes up. But now I've done learned in life, if you're going to do anything, you got to do it yourself. If you can't reach out and help yourself, ain't nobody else going to help you. So that's about all I got to say about that.
Danny, of all of the things that you've accomplished or overcome in your life so far, what are you most proud of?
Being able to say that I'm a retired criminal and I won't pick nothing up and I won't die in society.
Danny, you've gained a lot of hard-fought wisdom from experiences in your life so far.
Yes.
If you were invited to share your wisdom with school kids in your community, giving the kids guidance to live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives, what would you tell them?
Get your education. Work hard. Stay out of trouble, because the prison system is no place for a young man.
Danny, in what ways would you say that your life is going well these days? Please talk a little bit about how life is good for you at the present time.
Well, life isn't good for me. I make it good with the things that I do. You know, I get up in the morning, I go to church every day now. You know, I'm too old to work anymore, so I get up and I go to that church. I make my peace with God. And I try to look at positive things, even though negative come at me all the time, every day, every minute of the day, something negative happens. But I try to turn it into something that's positive and just try to maintain. I mean, I'm not saying every day in these streets is bad, but it's hard on a man that don't have a bed to lay down in, don't have a hot shower to go to when he gets dirty and everything. You have to depend on other people. And there's hundreds of us out here in Atlanta, Georgia that need the same thing that I do. So why complain about it? You know, because ain't nothing getting done in Atlanta.
Danny, you've just spoken about a few ways in which life is going well for you these days. Tell me, please, what led to those things going well for you? How did that happen? Who or what has contributed most to your doing well these days?
Well, I have a counselor. I don't want to call his name, but he talks to me a lot when I get in one of them old moods, one of them old moods. And I have a pastor. And not only is he my pastor, he's my friend. And then I run things by him, ideas that I get. And he advised me, and I listened to that advice. He's my mentor. You know, and then I have a police officer that works at Publix. And I talk to him about things because he knows that I'm walking around here living, sleeping in the rain, in the cold, you know, going hungry some days. And he knows I'm trying to do the right thing to stay out of the system.
Danny, looking ahead, please. When it comes to living a healthy, safe, stable, and happy life, what are your hopes and dreams looking ahead?
Well, there's no a happy, stable life. That's a good one. Happy, just to have me a room somewhere that I can lay my head. a backyard that I can just sit on the porch and look at the season change. You know, I've done become an old man now. I was very foolish in my young days, and that has stayed with me all my life. So now I just try to stay out of sight.
Denny, what are some of the personal strengths that you have that you draw on as you pursue your hopes and dreams?
To maintain freedom in society. I hope for that every day, that there will nothing happen to me. And I pray to God, or my higher power, whatever you want to call him, that he walks with me every day and give me peace, other than living in a jungle with a bunch of animals.
Denny, what challenges and obstacles do you see standing between you and the realization of your hopes and dreams? What holds you back?
What holds me back? What holds me back from a dream is I've done got to the age now to where I can't do no more time. I'm too old to work now. If it wasn't for my age, it'd be my record. Yeah, I couldn't get a job anymore. Sure, people want to work me, but they want to pay me under the table wages and benefit from my work. I mean, there's no such thing as fairness as far as where a man's trying to make some money to live, because when I was working, I lived from paycheck to paycheck. If I got sick or something, lost my job, I was back in the streets. So that's another scenario there, you know. But what holds me back now, I just can't get no help whatsoever from nobody. I mean, I done went through about 4 counselors since I've been out in a year. They all passed the buck off on somebody else. It's always somebody else's fault. Sure, I put myself in this situation, I understand that. But I went to prison, I understand that too, and I paid my debt to society. But I do think the system owes me after taking me out of society for a long period of time to help me get back on my feet once I get out, instead of just releasing me and sending me out here to a world I don't even know anymore. And like I said, you know, I've been a drug user most of my life. So now that I'm clean and I'm out here dealing with society, I find out I got more power. I don't know how to deal with a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I have to sit down and really ponder on for 2 or 3 weeks trying to figure out how I can get somebody to help me figure it out. Yeah, there's no help for an inmate out here, as you say, and it's like I'm on vacation right now from the prison system. And that's been the story of my life for the last 40 years.
Denny, you just spoke about a certain number of challenges and obstacles that you face. What needs to be done so that those challenges and obstacles that you just mentioned can be overcome?
Well, first of all, I'm dealing mainly with the prison system, and a lot of guys that come out of the prison system become homeless. So what needs to be done, or what? They need to have some kind of thing, at least 6 months to a year before you get out, you can go to a halfway house, be in a stable community, to where set you up to where you got help once you get out. Georgia Department of Labor, that's a joke right there. You go down there, you sit down there all day long. You might be number 75. By the time you get in there to talk to the representative, they already tired. They done been through so many. They just overpaid. They don't have enough people there to oversee. I'm not saying all these people bad. They just got so many people in it to deal with, one person. So that, you know, we need to be spread out more so. And you know, if a man was sent to a halfway house and limited spending and everything like they do in the prison system, he could walk out there with a chunk of money, get him an apartment and everything, have him a job, fall right back in and not have all the problems you have. But after you stay out here in these streets so long, getting your boiled egg and a hot bowl of grits and a cup of coffee in the morning, Then you get two cold sandwiches from some soup line. They set up to where if you're going to work, you can't eat. You got to make a choice between eating and working. Which one going to win right there? I think your stomach will. It does for me after a couple of days. Yeah, I want to go down there to that soup line. I want to stand there and eat. So when I go back down here to Home Depot somewhere, I want to catch out corner, try to catch work. It's too late. Don't know why I won't work you at 11 o'clock in the start you out at 11 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, you got to work between 6 and 8 every morning. Yeah, most jobs do. So that's a hindrance right there. We need help in getting a man back on his feet here in Atlanta, Georgia. Once you get out, the Salvation Army is good, but you're limited there. If you ain't got, you got this mortar system out here. You try to drive around a mortar bus in the traffic, you can't get to no place on time during traffic hours. So that's another hindrance. So we need us homeless people. We need help bad out here. We need, and there's people out here that's trying and trying, but their hands are tied because the big wheels is getting the money, and they telling the small people what to do. It's a story of life. I mean, it goes back to the Bible. The old days, the beggars and everything, they're called beggars when they held a sign up there. And on the Old Testament, when Jesus come around, I understand a lot in my life, but this interview I try to keep a lot to myself too, because it's hard to open up with people that I can't look at in their eyes. I like to see the expression on my face when I talk, and tell them things that I've seen in my life. And this homeless situation. I don't have the answer to homeless because I'm homeless. If I had the answers, I wouldn't be homeless. But I do know we need some help out here. We need some kind of committee put together to oversee the money that Atlanta appropriates to these people to make sure they're doing their job to get it done in their area. You got east, west, south, and north. Why don't you set up four committees? One for the north, one for the south, one for, and then you have your somebody that come around and check on these people, make sure that they doing their job what they supposed to. You can do a number count. Well, how they're prospering and everything. What is the procedure? Keep record of what they doing so they can't get away with just sticking money in the wallet doing nothing.
And I'd like to shift now to the community, and to a certain extent you've already made that shift. Okay. Could I please ask for your perspectives on the homeless community here in Atlanta, starting with the following question. How would you describe the homeless community here, Danny? Who are the people who make up the homeless community from your observations?
The people, ex-felons makes up the community of homeless people. Drug addicts. We need more drug counseling and everything. And that's the most on the homeless man's tip. It's easy to make money here in Atlanta, Georgia. But if you got a drug habit and you're working through a labor pool or something like that there, you go out there and you work 10 hours. Crack cocaine and meth is one of the biggest problems in Atlanta, Georgia. You go out there and you work all day and you make your $50. Well, first thing, I seen this firsthand and done this myself, so I know what I'm talking about right here. I go out there and I'm making $50. Well, I can take $10, go get me something to eat with it, and I got $40 there. Give me a pack of cereal, give me 3 dime rocks and a straight shooter, and I get high that night to be led out of my misery. And then I'm up again, do the same thing. And I swear up now, next day I ain't gonna do it. I'm not gonna do no drugs today. I'm not messing with no drugs. I'm gonna get my money, I'm gonna get me some clean clothes, put on everything. But here again, I got paid. Back to the dope man, and that monkey on my back got me when I got that green dollar bill in my pocket. And I can understand, a lot of people do a lot of things. It's not the person, it's the addiction that gets them. Yeah, and I understand that now after all the years that I've done drugs, that it was the addiction. And I was scared to admit that I was a junkie. I was scared. That's the first step that you got to really take note in, that you were a junkie. And I try to stay away from that because, it warped my mind so bad that I was wrapped up escaping my problems during my young life. Now that I got older, I just I don't want that type of life no more.
Danny, when it comes to living a healthy, safe, stable, and happy life, how would you describe the hopes and dreams of people in the homeless community?
Well, they pretty much, the homeless community, the guys that I know that's been out here, I say 5-6 years, they done gave up on everything. There's been so many doors slammed in their face. They've been talked about and belittled. I mean, they've been down so much that they just wander from shelter to shelter. And they get in a habit that they can't break. And that's the sad part about being homeless. They go from one soup line to the next, trying to get a handout. And it's ridiculous. I mean, because you got some good people out here come from a lot of good homes, and they just gave up on life because they've been beat down so bad by society.
Danny, from your observation in the homeless community, what are some of the strengths that people can draw on as they look to the future? In what ways would you say that homeless people are particularly strong?
Well, homeless people are strong to begin with. If they survive these streets out here on these cold winter nights, in this rain, and they can get up and go the next morning and bring a smile. But what gives us strength? When we look around, we see one man that we know that was homeless, slept out there, smoked the dope with us, shot the dope with us, drank the beer with us and everything. But all of a sudden, he's changed. He done got him a house, he done got him an apartment, or whatever he's got. And he come back, and he tells his story to us. It gives us strength. The struggles he went through during his homelessness. And it gives some of us hope that somebody out there gonna do something for us.
Danny, from your perspective, what are the challenges and obstacles that make it harder for homeless people in Atlanta to realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives? What holds homeless people in Atlanta back?
They can't get no help whatsoever. You go down to the Gateway, you said, they tried to put me in the Gateway. Well, we put you down at Gateway. Well, why do I want to go down there and be with a bunch of junkies? Drugs, smoking, drugs in the bathroom, and all in the system right there. And I don't believe that. I'm through with drugs myself, so I'm not a recovering addict. There's no such thing. To me, I don't. You're either going to do it, you didn't, or you're not going to do it. And I went to my mud puddle. I went down far below that mud puddle. I had a long ladder to climb back out of. And the reason why I went in that mud puddle to begin with was some damn drugs. Because I had to go steal to get money to supply that drug habit that I had. Because wouldn't nobody hire me? I already had a record and everything. Couldn't get a good job. So I turned to criminal behavior. And that became a way of my life. And that's the story of either you're going to end up either a drug addict, a drunk, or a criminal being homeless. Because you just give up and you need some kind of chemicals to alter your mind so you don't think about them things till you get back sober. And that's the bad part of that situation.
Danny, from your perspective, what needs to be done so that the challenges and obstacles you just mentioned can be overcome and homeless people in Atlanta can realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives? What has to be done to overcome the challenges and obstacles you just mentioned?
Well, we need an organization put together to where we got people to help us. We got counselors and stuff. if you're a drug addict, we need to get you into some kind of rehab. That's the first step. That would be only the first step. You go to that rehab. Once you come out of that rehab, you go through that rehab, you come out, they get you a job, get you housing, and everything. That's guaranteed upon release of that rehab. If you complete that program and then you need to be monitored to make sure that you go to your NA or your AA meetings or whatever. That needs to be a stipulation on that contract that has. You got to do what people do in society. You got to be responsible, because a lot of us don't know how to be responsible no more. We out of control. We done been beat down so bad that all we know is to get high. We live for the drug. That's what we live for. Whatever our addiction is, that's what we live for. We need help there. We need professional people to deal with us. Because it's not about being homeless. It's about what it does to our minds out here. You know, if you tell me I'm not mental health, something had to be wrong with me. I done 40 years. I just keep doing the same thing over and over and over. Why am I doing that? Has anybody ever asked that question? Yeah. Am I crazy? No, I love me. But, you know, I hate me at times, too. I hate the way that I became in life. So now, you know, I just try to be peaceful and stay away from everything. I'm living a shell.
Danny, imagine, please, for a moment that you're a powerful leader, a decision maker who could really make things happen. How would you change the system to help people in your community, in the homeless community in Atlanta, realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives? As a powerful leader, how would you change the system to help homeless people in Atlanta?
Well, see, being a powerful leader, I couldn't do that myself. I could be that powerful leader, but I need the homeless behind me. I need to get every homeless man. And if I had the money, I'd go buy him a tent. I go down there on the Capitol lawn, and I set out that tent. If it called, I'd be the front leader. If it called me going to jail or whatever, I'd ask my congregation to stay right there and demand fairness, you know, justice for all, not just for the rich or for the poor too. I mean, that's what I would put heat up under the governor. You know, I would get the news media out there and get them to film the homeless and tell them what's going on. You know, because the deal in Atlanta, Georgia, somebody's got to take a stand somewhere. You take Martin Luther King. He had a dream, and he died for it. And, you know, we got a lot of homeless people dying. I can't even call the names in the last 10 years of the people that I know that died from being homeless. Yeah.
Danny, my last question for you. Imagine you had $1 million that you could spend to help the homeless community in Atlanta to realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives. How exactly would you spend $1 million to help the homeless people in Atlanta?
Well, the first thing I do, go buy me a piece of land, build me a brick building out there and put bunk beds in it. And I'd open the doors up. I'd have a shower, check-in booth. When you come in, the first thing you do when you check in, it gives you a towel and a washcloth and go wash. Because being out here in the streets, you come up with a lot of kind of diseases, lice, scabies, stuff like that there, you smell. I wouldn't want my people in the dormitories. It has to be open dormitory. I couldn't afford with $1 million. I couldn't afford that. That's just a drop in a bucket, really, for the homeless situation in Atlanta. Because I'm going to have to feed these people. I'm going to have a kitchen there. So my first goal would be get these people off the street and find out what their problems really was. What type of help that I need to give them? What doctors do they need to go to? What psychiatrists do they need to go to? Get them interviewed by people and get the results of how warped the mind really are, and then I could proceed from there knowing what I was dealing with. Yeah, but right now, I don't see that happening in my lifetime. I really don't, because that's a big plate right there, what I just said. You know, you trying to deal every day with the homeless people out here. It wear a man down to where you keep seeing the same man over and over and over. You just give up hope. Well, he ain't going to change. Well, the system hadn't changed either. So why should he change? Yeah. The door's done been slammed on him so many times that he just says, well, I ain't letting that other door get slammed on me. I'm screw up my own self. Yeah, so and that's a lot of people's attitude right here. It takes a lot to reach out. The homeless people need love, not hate, not bitterness, you know, that we receive, you know. Okay, a lot of us didn't ask to get in this situation. It's just the way life rolled on us.
Danny, I really appreciate you taking time to talk. Do you have any final things that you would care to share?
I hope this interview and the committee that hears it will call me and really talk to me on an in-depth basis about the homeless problem here in Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, because I can take you places and show you things you wouldn't believe that the homeless do. I mean, you have to be a strong man. Like I said, I'm a survivor. I've been in that jungle, in the prison system, now I'm back in the streets. But my main goal right here is every day to get my necessities, my food, to stay warm, keep me blanket, stay in a dry place, and stuff like that there. And then if I get sick, I have to put back food and stuff for them days that I'm not able to come out, that I don't feel good, that I can stay there. I bought me a little Coleman stove so I can heat my food up. Got a frying pan. Yeah, I try not to use it that often because out there it costs money, and money is one thing I don't have. But I survive every day thanks to the Lord.